Jane, 23, age 10. Sometimes she wanted to know where she came from, but she knew better than to ask. Questions like that were off task, and being off task made the mothers angry. Most days, she was more interested in the scrap than herself. Scrap had always been her task. There was always scrap, always more scrap. She didn't know where it came from, or where it went when she was done with it. There had to be a whole room full of unsorted scrap in the factory somewhere, but she'd never seen it. She knew the factory was pretty big, but how big? She didn't know. Big enough to hold all the scrap, and all the girls. Big enough to be all there was. Scrap was important. She knew that much. The mothers never said why, but they wouldn't need her to work carefully for no reason. Her first memory was of scrap, a small fuel pump full of algae residue. She'd taken it out of her bin near the end of the day, and her hands were real tired, but she had scrubbed and scrubbed and scrubbed, trying to get the little metal ridges clean. Some of the algae got beneath her fingernails, which she didn't notice until later when she bit them in bed. The algae had a sharp, strange taste, nothing like the meals she drank during the day. The taste was real bad, but she hadn't tasted much else, nothing except maybe a bit of soap in the showers, a bit of blood when she got punished. She sucked the algae from her nails in the dark, heart beating hard, toes squeezing tight. It was a good thing, that bad taste. No one else knew what she was doing. No one else could feel what she felt. That memory was old. She didn't clean scrap anymore. That was a task for little girls. Now she worked in the sorting room, along with the other Janes. They took things out of the bins, still wet with cleaning fluid, still smudged with tiny fingerprints, and figured out what was good and what was junk. She wasn't sure what happened with the good stuff. She knew the older girls repaired it or made it into other things. She would start learning how to do that next year, when the new work schedule came out. She'd be 11 then, just like the rest of the Janes. She was number 23. The morning lights came on and started to warm up. It would be a bit yet before they turned on all the way and the wake-up alarm went off. Jane 23 always woke up before the lights came on. Some of the other Janes did, too. She could hear them moving and yawning in their bunks. She had already heard the pat, pat, pat of a pair of feet walking to the bathroom. Jane 8. She was always the first to go pee. Jane 64 moved over across the mattress. Jane 23 had never had a bed without Jane 64 in it. They were bunkmates. Every girl had one bunkmate, except for the trios. Trios happened when one half of a pair went away and didn't come back, and the other one needed a place to sleep until another bunkmate got freed up. The mothers said sharing bunks helped keep them healthy. They said that the girls' species was social, and social species were most on task when they had company. Jane 23 didn't really understand what a species was. Whatever it meant, it wasn't something that was the same between her and the mothers. She moved close to Jane 64, nose against her cheek. It was a good feeling. Sometimes, even if she was real tired at the end of the day, she'd make herself stay awake as long as she could, just so she could stay close to Jane 64. Their bunk was the only place that felt quiet sometimes. She'd slept alone for a week once, when Jane 64 was in the med ward after breathing in some bad stuff in the melt room. Jane 23 had not liked that week. She did not like being alone. She thought it was real good that she'd never been put in a trio. She wondered if she and Jane 64 would stay together after they turned 12. She didn't know what happened to girls then. The last batch to turn 12 was the Jennies. They'd been gone since the day the last work schedule was posted, just like the Sarahs and the Claires and the years before that. She didn't know where they went. no more than she knew where the fixed scrap went, or where new batches of girls came from. The youngest now were the Lucys. They made a lot of noise and didn't know how to do anything. The youngest batch was always like that. The alarm went off, quiet at first, then louder and louder. Jane 64 woke up slow, like always. Morning was never easy for her. Jane 23 waited for 64's eyes to open all the way before she got up. They made their bed together, as all the girls did, before getting in line for the showers. They put their sleep clothes in the hamper, got wet, scrubbed down. A clock on the wall counted minutes, but Jane 23 didn't need to look at it. She knew what 5 minutes felt like. She did this every day. A mother walked through the doorway. She handed each of the Janes a clean stack of work clothes as they went out. Jane 23 took a bundle from the mother's metal hands. Mothers had hands, of course, and arms and legs, like girls did, but taller and stronger. They didn't have faces, though. Just a dull silver round thing, polished real smooth. Jane 23 couldn't remember when she first figured out that the mothers were machines. Sometimes she wondered what they looked like inside, whether they were full of good stuff or junk. Had to be good stuff. The mothers were never wrong. But when they got angry, Jane 23 sometimes pictured them all filled up with junk, rusted and sparking and sharp. Jane 23 entered the sorting room and sat down at her bench. A full meal cup and a bin of clean scrap were waiting for her. She put on her gloves and pulled out the first piece, an interface panel, screen shattered in little lines. She flipped it over and inspected the casing. It looked easy enough to open up. She got a screwdriver from her toolkit and took the panel apart real careful. She poked at the pins and wires, looking for junk. The screen was no good, but the motherboard looked good, maybe. She pulled it out slow, 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 taking care not to touch the circuits. She connected the board to a pair of electrodes built into the back of her bench. Nothing happened. She looked a little closer. There were a couple of pins out of place, so she bent them back right and tried again. The motherboard lit up. That made her feel good. It was always good finding the bits that worked. She put the motherboard in the tray for keeping and the screen in the tray for junk. Her morning continued much the same way. An oxygen gauge, a heating coil, some kind of motor. That one had been real good to figure out. All sorts of little bits that spun round and round and round. When the junk tray was full, she carried it to the hatch across the room. She tipped the junk in, and it fell down into the dark. Below, a conveyor belt carried it away to wherever junk went. Away. "You are very on task today, Jane 23," one of the mothers said. "Good job." Jane 23 felt good to hear that. But not good good. Not like she'd felt when the motherboard worked. Or when she'd been waiting for Jane 64 to wake up. This was a small kind of good. The kind of good that was only the opposite of the mothers being angry. Sometimes it was real hard to guess when they'd be angry. Local folder. Downloads. Reference. Self. File name. Mr. Crisp's Beginner User Manual. All Kit Models. Chapter 2. Real quick answers to common questions. Many of the points explained here are covered in greater detail later on. This is simply a quick list to answer the questions I get most often regarding new installations. Your body has been given a 3-day booster charge, which will give you the energy needed to start moving, and of course to support your core consciousness. By then, your onboard generator will have harvested enough kinetic energy to keep you going. You'll be able to power yourself by that point. Unless you spend several days completely motionless in bed, you'll always have enough power. You are waterproof. Fun party tricks include sitting at the bottom of a pool or sticking your head in a globe of water in a zero-G environment. Don't do this around people you don't trust, obviously. You don't sweat, and you can't contract diseases, but practicing hygiene habits comparable to those of organic sapiens provides many benefits. For starters, you need to do it to keep up appearances. You will get dirty. Most importantly, you may not be able to get sick, but whatever's on your hand can be passed along to your organic buddies. Ask a friend to teach you about hand washing. You can safely ingest food and drink. Your false stomach can store a total of 10.6 culks of foodstuffs for 12 hours. Beyond that point, bacteria and mold growth is an inevitability, and you don't want to pose a health hazard to your friends. Plus, your breath will smell gnarly. As you don't have a digestive system, you'll need to empty your stomach when you get home. Refer to Chapter 6, Section 7 for instructions. Stay away from large magnets. Small ones are fine. Industrial-strength ones are a problem. Keep this in mind if you plan on spending any time in shipyards or tech factories. Your hair, nails, claws, fur, and/or feathers do not grow. You're welcome. Note for Andrisk models only, I recommend spending 3 days at home twice as standard. Andrisks commonly take time off during a molt, and no one will question it. While you won't suffer this problem, bowing out for a few days will keep people from getting curious as to why you haven't shed your skin. Your strength, speed, and constitution are on par with that of your chosen species. Your body can withstand a vacuum, though the cold of open space will begin to negatively affect your skin after an hour. Feel free to enjoy an unsuited spacewalk, but mind the time. And again, don't do this in sight of people you don't trust implicitly. Your body will give the appearance of aging and will deactivate at a time concurrent with your chosen species' expected lifespan. A warning notification will occur one standard before this happens, giving you ample time to decide if you wish to continue life in a new housing. Yes, you can have sex! You've got all the parts for it, and unless you're coupling with an expert physician who spends a lot of time looking at your bits under good light, hey, to each their own, no one will be able to tell the difference. But before you get to it, please do plenty of research about healthy sexual relationships and proper consent. Ideally, ask a friend for advice. Similar to the recommendation about hand washing, you should also practice good hygiene and disease prevention practices for the sake of your partner. There is no guarantee that Xer Immubots are up to date. If part of your body becomes damaged, send me details via the same contact path you purchased the kit through. I can't promise that it can be repaired, but I'll see what I can do. Though you are welcome to contact me if there are issues with the kit, I ask that any communications be strictly limited to the operation and maintenance of your new body. I will not reply to any messages regarding cultural adjustment, legal trouble, or other social matters. I'm sure you can understand my position on this. Talk to a friend instead. Feed source. Unknown. Encryption, 4. Translation, 0. Transcription, 0. Node identifier, unknown. Pinch. Hey, Comptex. This isn't my area of expertise, so I'm hoping you guys can help me out. I need some advice about altering AI protocols. Got a new installation I'd like to make adjustments to. Nebit. Good to see you over in our channel, Pinch. It's a pleasure. Two questions. What protocols specifically, and what intelligence level? Funky Franz. Pinch in a newbie channel? I never thought I'd see the day. Pinch. Level S1. Whatever protocol it is that makes honesty mandatory. Nebit. Hope you like complicated code. Honestly, protocols are rarely a simple on-off deal. For us organics, it would be either you lie or you don't. Easy. But the architecture for AI communication is hugely complicated. You start pulling threads, you can fuck up the whole tapestry. What's your programming skill set like? Can you write Lattice? Pinch. I was afraid you'd say that. I don't know Lattice. I can write basic Tinker, but only enough to get me around mech repairs. Tish Tesh. Yeah. Do not go anywhere near an AI. Funky Franz. There is no need to be rude. This channel is for beginners. Tish Tesh. I'm not being rude. I'm just saying, Tinker isn't worth shit here. Nebbit, you are being rude. But you're not wrong. Pinch, I hate to say it, but you need to be very, very comfortable with Lattice before you dive into a project like this. If you'd be cool with someone else doing the work for you, I'd be happy to work out a trade. Pinch, appreciated, but I'll pass. Do you have any resources for learning Lattice? Nebbit, yeah, I'll message you some nodes to download. It's dense stuff, but I'm sure you can handle it.